As we stroll through the Beatitudes, we've covered, blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are those who mourn. Today is verse 5, Matthew 5, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. If you were going to use the word meek to describe a person this morning, what would you mean? What kind of person would you be describing? Think of a meek person. What image is in your mind? Would you be thinking of weak and shy? Would you be thinking of pale and not assertive? Do you mean someone who's easily overrun? Sometimes our contemporary use of words is different from what it meant in another time and another place. The Webster's Dictionary Online defines meek as, first of all, enduring injury with patience and without resentment. That wasn't the definition I expected. Enduring injury with patience and without resentment. And their synonym there is mild. And then they give a second definition, deficient in spirit and courage. I don't like that one. Deficient in spirit and courage. And the synonym they gave there was submissive. Now, I didn't even find submissive to be congruent with deficient in spirit. We have trouble with our words. And it reminds me that words need a common meaning for us to communicate well. What I may say may not be what you hear. I want you to remember that in this Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that Jesus really was turning things upside down. In the world that he lived in and in our world today, these words are upside down from our culture. The world tells us to assert ourselves, to express ourselves loudly, be heard, right? Organize yourself. Manifest your power to accomplish what you want. Get it done. Exert your authority and your ability in order to succeed. And then Jesus says, blessed are the meek. What does it mean? In the sources that I read, of course, they all go back to the Greek language in which this Matthew's gospel was written. And Aristotle, of course, was one of the well-known great Greek philosophers. And the sources all pointed to his use of this word, praus, which comes out in English as meek. And they said that Aristotle was really big on the middle ground. He didn't like extremes, and he thought that to be virtuous, we had to always be in the middle ground. And in regarding to meek, he described it as a happy medium between excessive anger and excessive absence of anger. In other words, an appropriately meek person would have the right kind of anger in the right amount about the right things. Self-controlled comes to mind. But here in the scripture, it points to being God-controlled. Bertus Williams wrote about this. Blessed is the person whose every impulse, thought, and passion is under control by submission to the Holy Spirit. John Stott used words like gentle, humble, considerate, courteous, exercising self-control. He wrote that a meek person is humble toward others, because of a true estimate of oneself. You get that? We see ourselves correctly so we can be more humble toward other people. William Barclay titled this section of his commentary, "The Bliss of the God-Controlled Life." Blessed are the meek. Meek, in the context of Scripture, does not mean spineless. It does not mean subservient or ineffective. Meek is not weak. Those are not synonyms. It's not pale and pallid and unwilling to engage. Like the early European paintings of Jesus that give us the impression that he was this fellow who was pale and soft and spoke so softly. While Jesus modeled true weakness, I think he was anything but soft or weak. The stories we read about him do not portray a weak man. He modeled true meekness. But I doubt a carpenter's son who lived and worked outside was pale and ineffective at work. The books point to a secondary use of this Greek word praus that we call meek. It was used way back then. That word was used to describe an animal which had been domesticated, trained to command, trained to respond to the reins. And my favorite image of meekness is the picture of a war horse. That one's hard for me to say. War horse. Ready, strong, capable, but under control. I don't mean chomping at the bit, barely controlled, but completely under control, but ready. And at the touch of the reins or the voice of the master is into the battle, doing what it's supposed to do. I don't know much about roping or rodeo, but recently attended the high school finals in Abilene, and I noticed that some of the competitive horses are difficult to control, and they're difficult to back into that box and do what they're supposed to do if they're a roping horse. And I saw this one fellow that rode his horse in little circles. And he was aiming the circles toward the box, and he kind of circled the horse into the box. And when the horse kind of got to the right direction toward the calf, he's like, "Open it!" Not under control. I don't know if that was bad training or bad breeding, but it was embarrassing. I was talking to Dustin about this. That image of the horse and meekness. He had a horse named Mojo. Calf horse. And we were talking about that. Getting backing into the box and turning the horse's head to the calf or to the steer. And the horse staying there. Staying put. Head on the calf. Ready to go, but doesn't move until the master says go, until the flick of the rein or whatever command you use, and then bursts full of energy onto the job, under control. And Dustin said Mojo was like that. And he said, "It gets better. I could take him home and put a kid on him." And he was completely under control. But he was capable. He could do the job at a moment's notice, but he was completely submitted to the reign of the rider. That's meekness. Trainable. Submitted to the Master? Are you trainable in relation to kingdom living? Are you willing to submit to the control of our Lord and Master? Will you hand over your skills, your talents, your resources to the one who gave them to you originally? Now, you'll remember that we've talked about a progression in these Beatitudes as Matthew presents them. Being poor in spirit leads to mourning our own sinful condition. And when you've taken inventory of your condition before God and you have repented, it puts you in a position to learn, to say to Him, Lord, teach me. I realize I'm not going to get this done on my own and in my way. I need your ways, Lord. Teach me. That's meekness. You stand humble before God and are willing to submit to His control. Do you remember in the New Testament a man whose son had an evil spirit in him, and it caused his son to do all kinds of destructive things, and the disciples had tried to cast out the spirit and they couldn't do it, and the father brought his son to Jesus and said, if you can, your disciples have tried, if you can, would you cast the spirit out of my son? And Jesus said, removing the evil spirit is possible for those who believe. Do you believe? And the father said, I believe. Help my unbelief. What a beautiful answer. What an honest answer. The man's inventory of his own belief was accurate. I'm trying to believe. I know you're Lord and you can do it. Help me in the part of me that doesn't believe. He was willing to change. He was willing to learn, to be taught. What examples of Scripture come to your mind as you think about meekness? What Bible characters to you stand out as meek? Elijah? That probably wasn't the first one that came to your mind. Elijah doesn't strike me as a very meek kind of guy. What about Gideon? He was the reluctant commander of the army. He really didn't want the job, but he submitted to God's leadership. And then God pared down his army to 300 men so that it would be obvious who really was winning the battle. And Gideon gave God the glory rather than promoting himself. King David, before he was king, he knew that God anointed him as the next king. He knew that he could take Saul. He had the opportunity to take Saul, to dethrone Saul so that he could take his right place as king. But he said, God made Saul king, and I'll leave it to God to remove him. I will be his servant until God moves him. I've often recently referred to Jesus' invitation from Matthew 11, where he's quoted as saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the King James Version, where in that part where it says, I'm gentle and humble in heart, the King James says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, Jesus was not weak. He was meek. He was not weak. He was not timid. I think he was bold and straightforward, but he also did not force his ways on people. He boldly taught. He boldly laid out an example. He challenged those who were going the wrong way, but he never forced his ways on others. He humbled him. He had the power of heaven behind him, and yet he submitted to his Father's will. He humbled himself to become human, so that he could bring his power to bear on our behalf at just the right moment, in just the right amount, at the right time. Meekness means to have a trainable spirit and to allow God his control. And then there's the promise. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What do you make of that? Inherit the earth. What does it mean? Does it mean that someday when there is a new heaven and new earth, that the meek will be the owners? The meek will own it? Well, there's some sort of connection there. Does it mean that the meek will share a place in the new heaven and new earth? Absolutely. But what about now? Here and now, what does it mean that the meek will inherit the earth? I think one aspect is that truly meek people tend to be content, satisfied with what they have and what they've been given. Now, do not confuse that with lack of ambition. American capitalism exaggerates ambition. Meek people are not driven by the material things that they want. Ownership of property is not the most important. The bank account is not the most important. I wonder also if this inheritance of the earth has something to do with leadership. Will the Lord make the meek leaders in his kingdom? Does it seem to you that a truly good leader is humble and takes an accurate inventory of his or her own value? Now, we often celebrate the egotistical kind of leaders, the domineering kind of leaders, for their ability to get things done. Or improve the economy. That's mostly how we vote. We want the economy. We want our economy to be good. But sometimes those people leave a wake of destruction. Their power is short-lived and destructive. They seem not to care who they injure along their path. But I don't mean to stray into politics today. I don't need to. We're talking about meekness. Appropriate meekness begins by submitting to the Lord. When we kneel humbly before God and we recognize our need, we mourn our sinful condition, then we're ready to be trained. We're ready to submit to the Master. We're ready to serve at His will, doing whatever He asks, wherever He sends us, at whatever cost. Backing up to verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. An outline for kingdom living. And we'll continue on next week with blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Where are you today in your inventory? Is there something you need to act on? Is there a choice you need to make? I'd like for the music team to come on. I know we had some children respond to the gospel in camps this week. I wonder if there's anyone else here who's responded to the gospel recently, but you need to make it public. You need to stand before your church and say, I'm for Jesus. And I want to be accountable to Him and in His kingdom. If you need to make that decision, and you need to make it publicly, come for baptism, then would you come as we sing? If you need prayer, whatever. Let's stand and sing.